Hello, and welcome back to Education Honestly. So, this week's podcast is looking at how you interact with parents. And this, I think, can be so different for so many people. And I guess another way of looking at this would be 100% about professional boundaries. What is your boundaries? What are you comfortable with? What are parents comfortable with? And when is there limits that you can put in? This one's not easy. It's not hard. It's not like there's no clear cut. Well, I guess it depends on if you work for the school board or not, whether or not something is clear cut. So there are people that I work with who parents have their personal phone number. There are people who I work with who are so distant from parents. They just seem beyond aloof. They are they're frigid. And I mean, that's the perception that it could be. And you could look at it as having people who are poor communicators. And there's just so many different ways, I think, to observe what is and isn't appropriate boundary-wise, professionalism, et cetera, for interaction. And I think I should probably set up that when I say parents, I'm looking at caregivers, guardians, biological parents, adoptive parents, like whatever variation is, but the people who love the students in your class and are there to take care of them. So let's just make that one big fat bow, I guess, of people at this point. So using parents here for henceforth, just to make it clearer. So I think there's some things that we are probably all on the same page. You're probably not walking up to a parent being like, yo, what's up? Bad word. How much did you drink this weekend? Where were you partying? Like, I don't think you're sharing that information. I'm not 100% convinced that they're sharing it with you. You're probably not going and meeting them for lunch to have a glass of wine or a beer or whatever sort of boundary pushing there. I think we're all probably pretty clear on that. Although if this is something you're expected to be or comfortable with, that's fine. There are actually social occasions where I can see people doing that. I know that there's a parent fundraiser that we do at the school that I'm at once a year. And yes, people do partake in adult beverages. I don't, not that I'm judging. I don't partake in adult beverages, period, because I just don't. My body doesn't like them, and I can just not do that. It makes me comfortable. And I'm not judging anybody who does. It is, I think, a socially acceptable situation to have an adult beverage. Although I look at some of my coworkers and some of them do. And for example, one of the administrators I work with, it doesn't matter what the situation is, that I'm in will not. It's just not appropriate for their style. And that's okay. That's like, I think that's a comfort level. Do you share your personal phone number with parents? Some. I'm not going to say yes, some. Very, very few. The great parents, yes, have it. They are unique. The great parent I had last year has my personal phone number. Again, unique. When I taught special education, more parents there just due to convenience, easy to send a text message saying, what was your morning like? So-and-so seems to be having a tough day. What information could you have there? But it's definitely not something that is public knowledge and very specific to certain people. It's not something I put out there. There's one other set of parents that have my personal phone number because I taught their child previously, and that's then they were in a role to help out in my classroom and they needed it. And that was okay too. And so that's where my comfort level is. I have a coworker who has like 40% of the class has their personal phone number, and sometimes not by their own choice. It's been shared by other parents, which, you know, that because of that type of behavior is where my limit comes for sharing of information and interacting. That's hard for me. Email is there to protect me, I think. And that's just my comfort level. Have any of the parents have got, that you've worked with, have you ever been to their home, and have they ever been to you? Now, this is some messy gray area post-pandemic. I know that during the pandemic, I stopped by every single student in my classroom's home. And not that I walked in the door. Especially with the pandemic, I dropped off learning packages because that is the way that I could cope best during that time, to have students have concrete things to work with. I dropped off all kinds of stuff, not just work, but like actual manipulatives and supplies to help them through the time of the pandemic. So I knew where everybody lived. But in return, I had some parents at the end of the year very generously wanted to drop off a gift, but they wanted to come to my house. And I was like, no, there's a few reasons for that. Just the privacy and the personal security, but also the neighborhood in which I teach in is a lot more financially stable than the, not stable, financially, they have a much higher social economic status. And that has not always been the case. That is just the most recent school that I've worked at. I'm really tired, clearly. And the only time I get to record this podcast is at night after the little people in my home go to bed, so that there isn't any interruptions besides the dog. Sorry. There's a massive difference. And I didn't want them coming and seeing what my home looks like compared to theirs. There are some students that I went to their home before, especially when I taught in the world of spec ed, because I would go for a meeting and it was like a joint multiple disciplinary meeting, and it was pre-approved by all the powers that be. There's a student that I taught previously who literally lived across the street and was constantly forgetting things. And so on my way home, I would walk up to the front door and be like, here, so-and-so forgot this, because it just made everybody's life easier. And I was meeting the student where they were and trying to make them successful. And the parents were cool with it. The admin I worked for were cool with it. Everybody knew what was up in the ward. So I think your personal home can be definitely a limit. But then again, I also know that the school I'm at now, the grade eights often have a party when they graduate, and the administration and the staff have all been invited historically. I don't know what that currently looks like post-pandemic, but then again, I've never been to one of these because I lovingly teach the beginning and not the end of schooling. Grade eights and older kids are not my jam. But it was definitely sanctioned previously. What would your admin do? What would your school board or district say about this? Everybody's different, I suppose. I'm not hanging out at the homes of any of my students. Now, social media. I have two parents of two students I've taught ever on my social media. And one is because we became very friendly after I left the school. And I left the school because I had a tiny human. And by the time I returned to teaching, I was A, at a different school, and B, that student had aged out of my programming. And I just got along really, really well with his parents. And so we had a relationship there, but not until afterwards. I have another parent on there just because we have become friends completely outside of the education system. In fact, their student, as they know, is in their 30s. And it's just a totally different relationship. And again, those relationships were actually developed having worked in the special education world. And so that was just, it was just different. You get to know people, especially in the special education world, very, very well, because you're dealing with often smaller class sizes and very personal relationships. You're talking about things from like toileting and medication and all things that you need to know, because it's not your average mainstream situation. So I, you know, preface it things with that. I also know people who they have half the parents in their class on their social media, and they share pictures of their children, and it goes both ways, and they send memes, and wow, that's a lot. Wow. I'm uncomfortable with it just because of a judgment or breach of privacy, or just it's above and beyond my comfort level. So I guess you could say I'm pretty much a middle of the road person when all this stuff. I have some sharing, but limited sharing. And that's what I'm comfortable with. But there are other people who are totally fine. One of the people I work with now, I am on their social media, and I looked at their social media and went, that's a parent, that's a parent, that's a parent, that's a parent, there's a parent. And I was like, what is going on here? This is a lot. To find out that that person had grown up in the neighborhood and they were all on their social media before they even started working at the school, when they were transferred, it wasn't even like, I'd like to work here. It was just the way, you know, the stars aligned, and they went to high school with them. And so they were previously friends from going to high school with them. And there's no judgment that can be made there, because those were their actual friends. They just happen now to have to deal with them, in a professional and personal capacity, which I more power to you. That's amazing. Not something I think I could comfortably do, but everybody's different, right? So where is the line of your interaction with those parents? And do you edit yourself? Are you very mindful? Are you able to joke with people? Are you able to have them into your world? How does that look, and what are you comfortable with? And what is an absolute no? Forget it, not a chance. So please reach out. Let me know what you think. Here comes that call to action. Have a great week.
Don't forget to follow my mom on Instagram at Education Honestly and Education Honestly on Facebook. Lastly, our email is educationhonestlypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for calling.